Yeah, man. So today we wanted to talk about what was it you wanted to talk about?
Just mysteries of the universe. I think we're going to review some products. I got some samples the other day. Well, a shit ton of samples the other day, and we're going to do some sampling.
Yeah, you got samples to sample. Perfect.
Yeah.
What do we got? What's
first
in the lineup?
One on the lineup is, I don't even know what they're going for with the name, but I'm going to assume that this is Love It Farms. But the way that the packaging is, this could also be Love Lit, UV Lit. So we don't know. If it's good, I'll reach out to them and I'll be like, hey guys, what's your name? But if it's not,
can I see it?
Then maybe it's good that we don't know.
Oh, and the, it doesn't even say on like the UBI.
Yeah.
So, no. Okay. Yeah. So this is kind of a mystery weed. Yeah. Oh shit. That
mystery.
Was, what was the orange? Well, my bad. I'm sorry.
It is NYC Candy Orange.
Yes.
Which I have never heard before. So
never heard of it either.
We're going to see what's up. Good old hybrid.
Sounds like a combination of three or more strains.
Yeah.
Which
for sure.
All right.
Yeah.
I hope it's flavorful. It sounds pretty flavorful.
So, anything that has orange in the name gives me hope, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really fuck up a citrus terpene, it seems.
Yeah.
Especially on, like, trop cookies, and I don't know, it's hard to really fuck those up, unless it just tastes like dirt. But that can happen, definitely.
So I don't think it smells like dirt, but it does have this aftertaste, so that's really weird. It definitely puts, like, a weird,
not great.
Yeah, dude, not great, right? Like, almost.
There's no orange in it.
No orange at all.
So kind of just
musty.
Yeah, this strain, I think, debunks that whole citrus.
The citrus thing. I think they just threw the word orange at the end. Maybe there's no orange or citrus in it at all. It's like NYC candy, and they're like, well, we'll put orange on it. We'll just name it whatever. Maybe. They do have this sticker on the back, though, that I'm pretty impressed by.
There you go.
They kind of tell you that, like, its effects. So, you know, they give you the whole leafly. It's a hybrid, but it's sativa dominant, which, okay. And then they have, like, the top flavors, which you can always translate back to the terpenes. But it's citrus, sweet, woody, and tropical.
I think woody is it. That's all I get out of it.
Yeah, just straight wood, dude. I don't taste any of these other things.
Realistically, though, that could be either, you know, trimmings.
Wood and must.
Yeah. I mean, that tastes like we're smoking trim.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, it was a nug, you know? Like, I broke that down. If it was just a pre-roll.
I forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a nug.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, no.
Darn.
Yeah.
This
is full flower, bro.
Yeah, that debunks my whole...
I knew where you were going with that, but it was like, I was like, I wish that was it. I wish I could save them right now.
I forgot this is not a pre-roll. Damn.
UV lit, dog, is not.
Yeah. Love lit. Whoever you are.
Yeah. So far, 3 out of 10.
I don't even know if I'd give it that.
Nah, you got to give it that, right? Like, a 1 out of 10.
That tastes like my first home grow.
Is literally, yeah, dude.
And I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Well, like, what's the bar, right? Like, I feel like average, like, the mids is 5, right? Like, if you're in a mid-shelf, if you're in that $20 to $30 range, $35 range for an eighth at the Washington's, you know, market, I feel like that would be a 5. You're in, like, the 4 to...
5, 6.
6 range,
yeah, 4 to right? 6. Okay.
Right.
This and tastes like burnt popcorn.
It does.
Like, not even, like, regular popcorn. It's like the burnt kernels of a popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of unfortunate. That's the piece I never want.
Yeah, definitely.
Everybody
wants that piece.
The thing I will say, and it's not... that makes it sound like it's going to be a positive thing. It's not. The thing I will say is, if you are a brand new farm, you can't come out into the market with this. You really have to step back and assess, do we put our name on this? And
well,
maybe
if you put your name on this, like, process it, man. Don't sell this as flour.
Damn, it keeps going out too.
Fucking blast it, dude. Like,
yeah, do that. Sell it to someone else. But like, if you don't, if you feel comfortable putting your name on that, I mean, and you're not like a wholesaler, that's kind of unfortunate, man. I feel like they could be a wholesaler. They could be buying their weed off of somebody. But if
or this, they could be going for a low, like a low price point market, right? So they made like bare minimum on the newts, didn't spend any time doing a cure, right? Like just rushed it through,
put it in a dehydrator or something. Yeah,
and just like fucking okay, there you go. And like maybe I haven't seen the price point on it. This is a sample, like brand new, first time I ever heard about this company. So, you know, maybe that's a $15 eighth, dude. And then I'm like, oh, okay, well, like for $15 for an eighth, like
Cool. Looking at the package, I'd say it's fair to say that bare minimum is where they're shooting for. No, like that's not like it's kind of a diss. But like realistically, that little clip art worm and the little psychedelic spirals. It says
it's in living soil.
Yeah.
So you know this is expensive. It's organically grown in living soil. So I guarantee
unless that's a marketing thing.
At least mids.
I hope not. Yeah, man. I don't think that they're trying super hard, but I do think that they're trying to sell some weed.
Another thing I will say is commercially, I don't think that like hot soil or living soil does well for flavor or maybe for runs or maybe plants that grow in it need to be grown longer, but every like organic like hot soil company that I've tried anyways, I've never been super impressed by. And the sad thing is that's how we grow. So I'm like super impressed by our home grows and the shit we get from there. Like I think that's tasty, but like that doesn't translate well, it seems.
Which is very strange because like soil is one of the most if like cost inefficient way to grow in the rec market. Like, it costs a lot of money to front that much soil to start. Like, you're doing, I don't know how many plants they're doing, but say just on a, like a regular average scale, 300 plants, and you have 300, you know, however many 5-gallon pots of living soil, 10-gallon pots, or if they're outside, whatever, that's expensive.
Yeah, like, and be expensive.
That's why you say, like, yeah, that has to be mids, because you have to balance out what you're putting into it and what you're getting out of it.
Yeah, there's a bottom, right, for stuff like that. Like, what's the lowest I can charge for this? Because you have to cover costs.
Yeah.
And so, like, when you talk about the quality, man, like, man, you want that to be, like, it could be a really good low quality or low shelf company, right? Like, if that company was an organic company and they're the $15 to $20 for an eighth price point, I think they'd do cool. That'd be dope.
Yeah, but terps are important, man. You even terps got are people important,
but people who are shopping down there, man, number one, you sure. Either, you don't have, like, you're just going through it, right? Like, if all you got is an extra $15 to go and smoke or whatever, or some people just do it for the high. They're like, I would rather buy 3 or 4 or 5 eighths at this $15 than the one $45 which is eight.
Strange, but I think those are the type of people who are more prone to roll up blunts, right? Those mm-hmm. Hey, those are cost they cost a lot of weed. Yeah. You know, they have to front a lot of weed for a blunt.
Yeah, right. They smoke backwoods, so they're like, whatever, I'm just gonna get a cheapy eight. Yeah. I'm gonna fill the whole backwoods and I'm gonna get high. Like,
yeah, which could teach, you know, that
teach their own.
Exactly. I will say though, like, this, I won't say that this high is terrible, but
it's pretty good.
It would definitely be one that I could smoke and get shit done.
Yeah,
because it's happy. Very. I don't even say it as a mood alterer for me. I just know it's like it's low enough of a high, and it doesn't like get me crazy high. It's enough to just like kind of get me in like a good state, and I could feel like I could get shit done right now because I'm not too high. I don't want to just like crash on the couch, but I don't know.
I'm getting some precursor like headbandy high feelings. Like, it's not giving me the headband, right? But I can feel the like tingle. Like, tingle. Like, mm-hmm. I knew that like that's where it's trying to do, you know.
So yeah, like, I see
where they're going. It's kind of got that like real heady sativa vibe going on. And I will say that all the shit we talked about, the taste, it was smooth.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't coughing a lot.
Yeah, not like so the smoothest, organic, but like,
yeah, but it wasn't rough. Like, it sure wasn't as rough as you'd expect off the taste.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you're going for that mid price point or that $20 eighth, go more power to you. You're right where you need to be.
Crush it. That's where you should be. If you're listening to this later in life, I'm sorry. I love you. I just
want I hope you got better. Right?
I just want you to be successful.
Yeah.
Right. That's it.
And if they hear this and this down the road, hopefully they are better by then. Right. And then they're going to, and we'll review them again.
Oh, yeah.
See where they're at.
As many times as it takes for you guys to get into our store.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you lighting up over there now?
Okay. So this is actually something exciting. This is going to be good. So I have a sample from Cake Cannabis. And if you don't know, this is Freddy Fuego's B team cake. So it's going to be like a lower tiered Freddy Fuego. And as far as price goes, like Freddy's is sitting like really like top shelf in price. And I'm hoping that this cake, we're going to carry it, but I'm thinking that the eighths are probably going to be in that like low 30s, mid 30s, like kind of be like another, like that kind of, some good mids, like compete with cookies is what it feels like, kind of.
Yeah. It's unfortunate too, because I've anecdotally heard some not so great things about Freddy's Fuego from past employees. I won't say anything about it, but yeah, man, I think they're one of the people
about Freddy's.
I think they're one of the people in the industry who is willing to cut corners and, you know, kind of do shit on the low and not kind of pass that on or be open about it, and you know, could end up in a negative result for the consumer, you know. Yeah. As far as like, you know, spraying flowers, not saying that they do any of this stuff, but like just things like that, spraying flowers or for pests when they're, you know, mid to late flower, or, you know, just doing some sketchy stuff.
The cool thing is, like, where we're at now with the testing in Washington, like, it's very hard to get away with that consistently. Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. So this is this duct tape.
You said this was exciting, man. You said this was,
yeah.
What happened?
Instantly, I'm feeling higher. I will say that. This is like a face smacker for sure. It's a front end high. This isn't a creep. But it is rough, dude. Like
it feels hot,
very harsh. It's like the smoke is
like breathing fire.
Yeah, dude. I feel like 1,000 ninjas are like throwing ninja stars at the back of my throat as I'm inhaling this. Like,
it's, yeah, just what?
Like, it makes you want to cough. So like really, like as I was smoking that, you were talking about like cutting corners and the whole pesticide thing, and then you said you're taking a draw, and you're like, oh god, like this is wrecking my throat right now.
Almost think like, what the fuck am I smoking? What happened? Or yeah, something just got either fucked up on the back end.
I think it's a bad flush, dude. I would say bad flush, or, you know, whatever newts they're using.
I want to debunk that, and I think people have the flush, bad flush. It's a very contested point, I think, in cannabis. Like, okay, so you've smoked our weed, right? Like PJ, we got old plaid jacket, right? What do you feel about that? Like, how do you feel about that? Like, is it smooth, right? Right?
And some of it is. Mm-hmm. I forget what strain we had that was not smooth.
It's probably, I think, Dolado.
Yeah.
One of our ones we're getting rid of.
Yeah, it was like another one, and I was like, it was a coffer for sure.
So we don't flush at all. And actually, that Dolado was from a flush run that we flushed the first two rooms, and now we're seeing that we could push the potential all the way to the end, and no negative to it. It seems we could just like there's only a positive. So I don't know. I mean, flushing could be it could be beneficial. It could not be beneficial. That's one of those things that I'm just like, that's highly contested, and it can be proven both ways.
It's gonna be one of those things that you're never gonna get.
Well, because it can be proven both ways, right? Like we're talking about just the stuff we grow, and we don't flush it, or we haven't moving forward, and it's still smacks. It burns white. It, like, there's the whole white ash theory, right? Like, it's one of those things that you can just, you can play it both ways. And yeah. I think it's just something got fucked up along the ways and made this harsh. I don't think you can, like, narrow it down to that.
I think about the flush. I think the thing that we can unilaterally agree on here is that if you are using borderline, almost bad, like, doesn't check enough boxes to be banned newts, right? Like, it is, like, the bare minimum. Like, you can use this to grow, but it's not the greatest. And I think if you use those all the way through and you don't flush or have a good flush, that's when you get the harshness from those residual salts being, like, translated in the thing.
Okay.
I don't think that you need to flush every time. And what you're saying makes sense that, you know, if you're running clean or you have good newts, like,
we're using General Hydro. That's the thing, is we're using the minimum, yeah, right? Kinda... Like, it's not, though. What we're using, we're not using, like, the three-part water. We're just raw salts, and we mix it.
Okay.
And it's not any different other than they're not shipping us pounds of water. They're just shipping us pounds of salt, and we get to mix it. But, yeah, man, I don't think there's ever going to be a definitive on that, like you said, that flushing or no flushing. I think it's all about, it could be one of those things that fucks up your grow, maybe, if you fucked up something else along the way. But I don't think you could rule that out as why your smoke is harsh.
I feel like I definitely am interested in this now, like, because it's just one of those things that you never...
Do we flush our hot soil?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's designed to, you use the ratio of dirt so that it is flushing at weeks
8 but through 12. But it's not. Those micro, like, I mean, I don't know, man. I just don't think that there's an end-all be-all for that.
I don't think so either. That's what I was just getting ready to say. I think, like, when I learned that, and the videos we watched and the growers we followed and the breeders that we read into early on, right? Like, when we were just fucking YouTubing and Googling shit every day.
Just bring it up a little bit. Yep.
When we were doing that, it's everyone that we were just happened to see was on the tip of, you know, you have to flush, right? Like, if you don't flush, you're keeping these bad chemicals in your plant and all this stuff. And that's what you learn, right? Like, that's what these people are telling you on the thing. But unless you are, I guess, fact checking and really diving deep into all these subjects, you can't take all those things for law. Or if you do, you need to be prepared that along the way, sometime into the future, somebody's going to come along with a better way to do what it is you're doing. And if you don't accept those paradigm shifts and those changes, I feel like you really paint yourself in a bad
situation. I'm curious as to what bad chemicals you're flushing out. What do you mean?
Like, the additional nutrients being in there, what I've heard from these videos is that and the... chlorophyll causes the smoke to be harsher. It just causes a harsher smoke. Like, the burn off that you're getting when you're burning those in the plant material just causes it to be a harsher smoke. I don't know if it's because it makes it burn hotter or if, you know, somehow that changes, like, the gas consistency that's in the smoke, and now this extra chemical being in the smoke is irritating your throat at that temperature. Who knows?
I wonder if there's any correlation between just nutrients being still available in the plant when you cut it and it drying. Because when it's drying, it's doing its best to try and stay alive as much as it can with all the nutrients it has left, right? Does that maybe make your dry time longer? That's something maybe...
If you don't flush?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that. Like literal salts help you retain water, right? So, like... I would think that if you have these nutrients and these other micros and macros that are assisting the plant in...
So maybe that's what it is. It's they're just it's different. You have to approach it, the dry and cure, differently. Maybe it's a little longer of a process. You know, I don't know. This is literally just my stoner brain.
We're just like throwing shit out there.
But yeah, man, actually talking about elements. So in our space at Plaid Jacket, we have our mom room. And we use soil in our mom room, cocoa everywhere else. And so we're like a mix of like cocoa soil in our mom room, just because we're going to grow massive plants in these 10-gallon pots.
Yeah.
It's just a battery. We don't have to charge it too much. And so we've been getting deficiencies one way or another on some of our like massive mom plants. And even though we're watering additionally these nutrients into the soil, we're still seeing deficiencies, and we're adding like my boss John is adding like chicken poop on top, and like that's like a nitrogen high fertilizer essentially. And
but you guys are watering General Hydro on it
as well, yeah. So we're giving an abundance of nutrients.
Are you guys doing a tea?
No,
because I've heard of salts eradicating your microbiome.
But so we have earthworms, we have a fuck ton of microbes, we have like three different types of beneficial insects, and you can see them moving in the soil. Like you can look into the soil and see all this happening.
No, for sure, for sure. I'm just saying, like, what if this plant is massive, right? So what if like the salts are locking out the plant's ability to get any of the nutrients from the actual soil, like the stuff that's being processed from the microbes, and all it's getting is the supplement that you're giving it from the
readily available. And that's kind of where I'm going with this is, so we had a dude way back working for us, kind of back when I started there. He started as well. His name is Brennan, and he kept saying that we needed to add gypsum or dolomite, which are both calcium supplements essentially. Dolomite is calcium magnesium, and gypsum is calcium and something. But calcium doesn't just come by itself, right? It's always attached to something for whatever reason. And so he kept saying that we needed to add that to our soil because we're high in phosphorus. We did a soil analysis, and we were high in phosphorus. And so we just recently started adding that gypsum and the dolomite to our soil in hopes that that's going to essentially either unlock or antagonize whatever the plant needs that it's not getting. And so there's this chart here. I can't remember what it's called. I'll have to pull it up real quick.
Hell yeah.
It's called... Oh, Mulder's chart, and you should Google this, whoever's listening, and so you can have a physical like representation. But if you look at that chart, it shows all the elements that how they interact with each other, and there's like a key down there that says antagonizes or whatever. But if you'll notice that calcium, damn near everything, but I think copper and one other very, very micronutrient, it doesn't play with. And so whether you have it in abundance or in an unabundance, whatever the opposite of that, it can really affect what your plant's going to uptake. And it's almost like a leader and tells things what to do. So if you're having nutrient lockout or something along the lines that shit that your plant is telling you it needs something because it's having necrosis or different colored leaves or whatever, I would definitely, if you don't have calcium in your regimen to put it in, but at the same time, when you attach it to magnesium and you put in like calcium and magnesium usually come in like a 1-2, so 2 magnesium to 1 calcium. So you end up adding more magnesium, which isn't necessarily a great thing, which can cause a whole nother realm of lockout. So word of caution, but
like, don't just throw CalMag in the mix,
right? Gypsum is great because it's a lot easier or a lot better than dolomite because it doesn't have the attached magnesium. But it's sulfur. I think is what gypsum has. Yeah, sulfur and...
And sulfur's cool because it's also like a natural, like, IPM. Pest management. Yeah.
IPM, yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So like the sulfur will keep some bugs away, which is, you know, that's a nice bonus.
Again, you don't want too much of that.
No, yeah.
So...
Like very small amounts, but...
But yeah, no, calcium is super important and this is what something we're learning as we're growing over there at PJ's, and shout out to Brendan for recognizing that. And that was really cool.
Yeah. Good job, Brendan.
But he's actually the one who sent me that Mulder's chart. Cause I asked him, I was like, hey man, I really like, and then we've just been like talking back and forth the last couple of days. So it's cool to reconnect with him for a second.
Hell yeah.
That's what's up. He said he's got this little indoor 10x12 or something that he's been working on. So I'm happy for him. I'm glad he's like doing his garden thing the way he wants to do it, because yeah. And he does some like living soil kick it too. So, he's really, really into, the
organic.
Like, yeah. So. Soil food web. He was learning the soil food web, while he was working with us. I think he might still be, you need to get that?
No.
Okay. but yeah, man. back to this weed we were smoking. Man, damn, we're really chaining these, huh?
Oh, we don't have to.
I'm chilling right now. I'm at a good high. As much as that like kind of ripped my throat apart, it's like smoking a cigarette, but it really, it's got a stony feel to it for sure. What strain was that?
Duct tape.
Of course, it's duct tape. Yeah. Good old, what's that, Gorilla Glue and... God, fuck me. I don't remember.
Yeah, me neither right now. That's how high I am.
I guarantee, though, if we had Miles here, he'd tell us exactly Miles, what duct tape he's was.
The truth.
That's so cool that he likes his genetics like that. Dude. That's super cool and impressive, actually, for somebody fairly new to the game.
Yeah, dude, I was, like, blown away.
So how sustainable do you think that we can make cannabis?
Very sustainable, dude. I think that cannabis can literally be...
Do you think we could scale it like as high as we are currently?
Like scale the sustainability?
Yeah, exactly, right? Like you're thinking, I'm sure you're aquaponics, right? With your tilapia, The thing is, dude, I learned, I don't know whose podcast I was listening to, but you can't sell that tilapia.
No, you don't sell it.
But then you give it away. Fair enough. Yeah. Wow, loopholes.
Yeah, you don't sell it. That's the... Yeah.
Hey. but yeah, so that's probably where you're going with that, right? How do we make it sustainable? Tell me. What's your vision?
I would start with definitely finding out, okay, so what is going to be the way in which the nutrients that I'm putting into this plant are the cheapest and most renewable, like they're easy to get sources of nutrients. And you're going to want to go through those methods, right? Which I think would bring you to some type of super soil, like big mass agro, like, you know, put the shit in the dirt and then just water it. And then you have a feeding chart per week, you're probably like supplementing something in your tea or whatever. And you could do that on a big farm level, versus the expense of doing the salts. Like once you get to a certain size, like if we're talking about sustainability and this is like a cash crop now, it's not just people smoking it recreationally. Now you're growing like fields and fields of hemp and fields of boofy weed just to get blasted because you're gonna, you know, distill it.
And you don't want to be dumping salts on your soil day after day. Yeah. There's a point where that's no longer viable. You will get to a non-viable soil. So
right, exactly. And then you have to replace all that soil. That's super expensive. So really, you know, you want to use organic stuff. You want to have microbes. You have
good soil, a little bit of both. Bugs. I think there's a market, and I think there's a cap on organics, as far as like room and volume of soil. I think there's a cap on like your organic and then you have to worry about things like microbes and actually like the uptake from the plant. But I think, yeah, I think it'd be nice to at least have on an emergency basis some soils or some, sorry, yeah, some salts laying around.
For sure. I think on an emergency basis, you should definitely keep some type of readily available nutrient for your plant. Cause like, why do you want, you're not going, it's not, doesn't make sense. You see deficiencies. Okay, I'm going to wait 2 weeks to a month for my microbes to break down the shit I'm putting in here,
right,
to feed this thing. Like, no, like that's too little too late, man. Like, you need to go and do something now. Like, and if you're doing just to supplement it in, you're not putting a ton anyways, you know, like you're just, it's a little extra,
right?
Trying to balance some shit out, and then, you know, stop when everything's good, you know. And then maybe both, dude. Like, I don't think it would make your soil too hot to do that. And like organic stuff that needs to be broken down and water in the supplemental newts. I think you would be able to get away with doing, you know, like a top crop or like getting some type of new topsoil on there to like water down in and add some microbes, like some more shit. Like,
so your vision of a sustainable farm, yeah, would so, be soil,
yeah,
you're saying?
What I'm going back to is like, what do you have a lot of, right? Dirt, right? Like when you go and you buy land, there's already dirt there, right? And then even if that dirt is not by itself nutrient rich or, you know, gonna have the things you need to grow in, you can still amend that soil, right? So now we can take that soil and we can add other soil to it, we can, right, make it a mix, like we compost, can dilute and that soil with other things that plants will do very, very well in. And it saves that cost and it's improving the soil in that area, right? So now you can grow other crops off of that. You can do a crop rotation. Like,
so where are you getting your sustainable organic amendments?
So I would do, there's a couple things you can do to get sustainability out of that. You can do like a top crop, which is going to add some extra nitrogen, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah, that's cool, right? Like, there's, yeah, plants that fix nitrogen in soil.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah.
So, like, between them and the fungus, they're, like, making more, yeah, nitrogen in the soil.
Yeah.
Like, that's dope.
Soil food web is a wacky little,
yeah,
is a wacky, it's crazy, little dude,
because the more you learn about it, the more you're like, wow, I don't know shit.
Yeah, and it's shit you can't this. See.
Yeah.
It's just exchanges like, that are happening these things under that the are soil. Happening.
Now I look at dirt, and I'm like, dude, that's not even dirt anymore. It's literally like a thousand, yeah, different,
it's a stock market,
particles. Like, I'm looking at this and that. Everything,
just exchanges happening down, all the time.
Like, yeah. It's so nuts. Anyways,
yeah,
digress.
Yes.
So, yeah, for sustainability, man, I think soil's the way.
And you're getting your organic amendments.
You're getting your organic amendments how? By recycling some of your byproduct, right? So you're at the end of your grow, I think that you're going to use your stock and sell that, right? Like either for fiber or hempcrete or something. Like hopefully there's a byproduct being made off of those, but off of your smaller sticks and your fan leaves and things like that, you're going to chop that up and add it into a compost, right? With some other stuff and let it break down that way. Or you can burn it and you can put the ash as an amendment,
mm-hmm,
and that's going to help as well. And that helps you recycle your waste, right? And
how do you know how much of that to put on though?
Like you should be testing stuff, dude. Like, yeah, at any level, you can take a little bit of this, put in a petri dish or on a little like thing and get like a ppm meter and that's see fair. Where you're at, like, you know, somebody should be doing that if you're, yep, doing it on that level.
Yeah, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, like you should be going out and doing soil samples and you should be testing your product the same as you do every other, sure, fucking thing, right? Like we should be making sure it's clean.
So you think they're test? You think they should test it how often? Throughout the crop?
I think you test it a couple times throughout the crop, but honestly, like, from a government and consumer standpoint, you only care about the end product, the consumable, right? So,
right,
you test that then. If it doesn't pass the test, dude, it sucks for the farmer, right? Like, now they just lost a whole crop. You can't sell this.
Right.
Right? And maybe there's some ways you can get around it. Maybe they're like, hey, you can't sell this flower, but you can go get it blasted and distill it and,
mm-hmm,
make your money that way. But you still have to go take another test after you do that.
Let's talk about distillate. How do you feel about distillate?
I like distillate, man. I think distillate's the future. I think being able to isolate.
Do you ingest it? Do you eat it or do you smoke it?
I've done both.
Uh-huh.
I think distillate is best to cook with.
Okay.
I would recommend.
I can see that. It's
cooking with a distillate.
The most viscous or not non-viscous.
Yeah.
Non-thick. It's the thinnest version, but it's sticky as fuck.
It is hella sticky, but like you're melting it in with butter, you're melting it in with like coconut oil or whatever the fuck you're using to like cook with. And dude, I think as far as dosing goes for the consumer, like having distillate and knowing, hey, I'm putting 50 milligrams into this butter, I know that this whatever I'm making is going to have 50 milligrams or it's going to have 100 milligrams. Like that's it, right? Like you're able to kind of control that. You don't have to have these scary edibles that somebody made from Reclaim or like,
hey man,
those are fun, dude, for sure. You should do that, right? But like if you're at home and you're doing this because it's medicinal or you need to control or you're a new smoker or a new consumer, maybe you can't smoke, it's a good way to really control that. And distillate is the one way to have a guarantee that the product is clean, right? Because you're literally just removing the THC and cannabinoids and terpenes and all the other shit that you don't want to be, right? Any other byproduct, heavy metals, like pesticides, all the shit that you're scared of, the other chemicals that you don't want in there, you can remove them.
Right.
They vape off at a certain temperature and they can isolate that and it's gone, dude. Like now everything that you're pulling out from that is clean, it's pure, you can regulate that. So I think in a future market and that kind of, that's kind of like where it's going to go, right? Like that is how you know for sure it's like that. I think that weed will still exist in a flower form and people will still consume that kind of way. But I think the main body of people will be vaping or taking a capsule or having some type of transdermal patch.
You're changing my bias on distillate. I'm not a huge proponent or fan of distillate myself.
I don't like the flavor.
I'm not even like the flavor. I just like to have all my cannabinoids. I don't like just that straight.
But think about, so right now we're only have distillate and machines and this equipment that really we're only isolating THC and CBD. And now we're seeing Delta 8 and, a little bit of CBN. I've seen some CBN where they're getting higher concentration of that, but we're going to get to a point, dude, where you can isolate even the sub cannabinoids.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I think
and now we can fucking mad scientist this whole situation, right? Like you can get straight up just this one cannabinoid that you and me have never heard of to this point. And the high for that is like, we were talking in another conversation, like it fucking makes you start tripping, dude. Like you start seeing some shit. It's like psychoactive to the fact that it's like LSD.
Yeah. With the advancements of like the yeast grown THC and the lab grown rather, but definitely. Okay. Yeah. I'm just thinking of like distillate now, right? Where we have basically just the THC or the CBD or the little mix that they do. I think it's unfortunate that we're just, especially in vapes, I'm not really the biggest proponent of just smoking like the raw THC. I think you're getting a very blank high, I think, and it's going to be like quick, in my opinion. Distillate never for me was like a full bodied experience. This experience is what I never really feel fulfilled by a distillate high.
Yes, I think for the weeds, like all the weed snobs out there, the smokers, like you and me, like for sure, dude, I agree with you on a spiritual level. Like,
I'm not even looking at it as a connoisseur. I personally just feel either I get too like wacky spun out high, or I'll just like feel like I'm only high for like 15 or 20 minutes.
Right. And I agree on the like more on the latter, like the 15 or 20 minutes is usually my experience with vapes. Like that's why I have them, but they're something to me. They're supplemental. It will never replace.
Sure.
You doing some other method of consumption, but when you're out and about, or you know, you're somewhere where maybe it's okay for you to be high, but it's not necessarily okay for you to smoke, you have your vape and you take a couple puffs and it's really discreet.
And I'm not talking just vapes though. I'm talking distillate, right? So you have the live resin vapes and stuff like that, right? Rosin vapes. And so there's vapes out there that are comparable to flower that I would much prefer to smoke over, especially talking, like you said, the flavor earlier. Distillate tastes like shit.
Yeah.
Like, even with the flavoring in it that they banned and then unbanned, it's not good. Like, I want to taste the weed. I don't want to taste a chemical. It just is either bland or, like, kind of just, like, hits the throat, like that joint we just smoked.
Yeah. No, I agree, dude. I it will never replace the quality of weed or live resin or rosin or these other methods to concentrate even. But distillate is going to be by far the biggest byproduct as far as like the amount that's made and purchased in the world, because you can regulate that. You can take a whole ass bad crop. You could take 10 acres of shit and you can still turn it into distillate.
Right.
And you can still have a byproduct that's going to do something. So, like, don't get me wrong. It's not going to be my favorite. It's never going to be the end all be all for me. In fact, I'm hoping to, like, just vape rosin when I make it, dude. Like, I'm just hoping that I have my own rosin. I squish it every day fresh. And, like, it's from my clean super soil plants that I grew in my own shit. And I'm doing it at a level where I can just supply my own rosin. And I have my little vape pen and I put a little scoop in there in the beginning of the day.
Pinky out
and just vape rosin all day, dude. And just super clean and, you know, but until.
I think it's just, I don't know. I look at it from the disserviceness of to the consumer.
It's a disservice to the consumer in a way that from a medicinal standpoint, you're not getting the full benefit or impact you would. But from a medicinal standpoint, it's you're able to control and dose it now. So the reason that weed isn't medicine, technically, right? Like from a pharmacy standpoint, is because you can't dose it yet. You can't take it and say, hey, this amount is going to do this almost every time. Right? And we know that, and we can isolate that specific amount for you, and we know how this is going to interact with you. That's why it's not widespread. You can't go to a pharmacy like Walgreens and pick up your weed. But I think that distillate is going to give marijuana the ability to do that, man. Like, cannabis is going to get to a point where they can dose things out specifically to somebody's needs to take care of a certain series of symptoms and just put in the right ratio of cannabinoids for that person. And I think that comes from distillate. Like, there's no other way that you do extraction where you're going to be able to get that exact.
Right. Okay. Yeah, but then that leads us to, you're really going to make that all crinkle in the mic? You bastard.
Sorry.
then do we want that, like, yes, we do want that pharmaceutical aspect of it, but we don't want to give up our right of the freedom for it, right? Like, we don't want to,
I think,
like,
both.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I think there's a market for both. But when you talk about, like, distillate and proportioning almost like in a pharmacy sense where it's dosed and managed, that I just hope it's not at the expense of our freedom of it.
Right. I think two things happen, right? Because this is a plant that is both recreational and medicinal. You totally separate the markets, right? And we have a consumable product that is treated more like a vitamin or Advil or Tylenol, right? That comes from some form of distillate or isolate, something like that. And it's in a capsule or it's in an inhaler or it's in a syringe.
Supplements, I guess.
And it's supplements, and you just take those and you microdose it, and it's
because there's already like CBD supplements, right?
Everywhere. And it helps you with your anxiety, or it helps you with your depression, or it helps you with your chronic
little microdoses,
pain,
almost
little microdoses, like instead of doing these other things, right? Like in replacement for these other things,
right?
That's better on your body because it has less negative side effects,
right?
So, I think that exists, and then I think there's also like the I want to go get fucked up section of weed where, like, you go by where the liquor's at. And
right.
you're going to go get, like, a jar of, like, some really good fucking beautiful flower. Or you're going to get some joints or a big old canagar or, like...
I hope that's where we end up. I hope we end up with that level playing field of you have your market and I have my market.
Yeah.
And I hope one doesn't dominate the other because I think that both
will exist.
Right. And I hope...
Both can exist.
Sure.
There's a ton of stuff that can come from this one plant, right? Like hempcrete and making fibers and making
Endless.
Clothes and all these other things. Like that's going to exist too from the same plant. Like all these industries are going to emerge. And I think that as we get more and more into legalization, we're going to see that shift in the separation between medicinal and recreational use cannabis.
Right. Yeah, I just hope that these emerging industries don't piss off a lot of other people, though, in other industries that they'd compete in.
Get with it or get lost, man. Here's the thing. Like, we're always moving forward. There's always progress.
Right.
And no one thing is always going to be the end-all, be-all answer for all of time. And I think that these companies that, like, okay, let's equate this to, like, Amazon and storefronts. Right. Like, I think it is very tragic that a bunch of brick and mortar shops are going out of business because of the emergence of Amazon and how easy it is even for a business owner to be on an online storefront than it is to go have a brick and mortar. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's just dying. Sure. I feel bad about it, but I'm not mad at Amazon for moving things into the future and finding a need and filling that need. Right. So I think that I feel the same way about cannabis and the response to the other, like, people that it's going to affect, except for the pharmaceutical company, because fuck them. But, like, the other people that are just, like, out there feeling weird because it's going to be in their space now, like, I just get with it, man. Like, it's going to happen, and you need to adjust, and you need to adapt and be able to still compete in that market because that's where things are going.
Yeah. That brick and mortar needs to open up an Amazon shop, right?
Right.
They need to just adjust.
They need to adjust. Right?
You don't have to close down your shop. You just have to change your direction of your shop.
Exactly. You need to understand where the trend's going and play to that trend.
Yeah.
And I think that cannabis can provide a lot of answers in a lot of different, and not just cannabis, like hemp in general. Like this plant can benefit a lot of different industries around the world. And we're going to be able to do things with it that help supplement a lot of other fields, right?
Some, like, of these things we don't even know.
Right.
There's still avenues that and are like to even, be explored.
Even on a base level, like the carbon displacement, like it displaces like, what, 5 or 10 times more than trees, that the average tree does. Like,
is that true?
Is
that a fact?
That is a fact that I have read.
Like one hemp cannabis plant versus one
like a 30-foot
tree?
Like a big hemp cannabis plant versus another tree. Because of something that had to do with like the leaves and how it is. Like it's just, they absorb more.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But if that's true, that's great. That's awesome.
Right?
And even if it's like 5, 10, 20% better than a tree. Like, like the size versus, the size of it. Yeah.
And I think that weed, like, you can stop cutting down as many trees.
Mm-hmm.
You can cut down hemp instead,
right?
Like for paper and these other.
But the speed of a cannabis plant versus the speed of a tree.
Right.
And if it does displace more carbon, like it just doesn't make sense. Why you wouldn't.
Right.
You know, adapt or move to this, this industry.
Like if I can make paper
if you 10 can make times the same
faster and it's better for the environment and it's cheaper.
Right. And you can make the same products.
And then people are going to get mad because you own a paper mill. Like, no, I'm not mad at you, dude. Like this thing over here is obviously better. Like you should have went and bought some hemp fields, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Like at that time when you found that out, like you should have just went over there and did that.
And not shut down your timber service because it's going to be a while before it actually fully takes over.
Right. But just be ready for that adjustment. Yeah. Be ready for the adjustment. Like if I was a farmer who was a dairy farmer, I wouldn't be super mad at like all this vegan movement and all this stuff, I would buy almond fields, dog. Like, I would literally be like, okay, cool. Like, y'all motherfucker want almond milk and oat milk? Gotcha. Bet.
Right.
Say that. Oh, right. Avocados are a thing now? Cool. I'm going to sell some cows and I'm going to go buy some avocado trees. Like, mm-hmm. Dude, just adjust.
It would be hard, though, if like, a lot of what you know is pretty geared toward exactly what you're doing. You know, if you're a dairy farmer, right, and you don't know all this stuff about dairy, but then, and then sure, yeah, you're gonna hire people to know who know what they're doing, but I'm just saying from like the smaller perspective, you're not gonna be able to switch from dairy to growing avocados just like that. You're gonna have, there's gonna be a lot of learning
and that's on how to grow, like, the plant, the small and XYZ. The small, like, farms are not the people I'm talking about. I'm like the big companies that are like putting out commercials like, hey, milk is good for you and blah blah blah, like,
right.
Because they're mad that people are choosing to drink almond milk and soy milk and all these other things,
right,
instead, and so now they're spending campaign money to get people to come back to the dairy, when if you have enough money to make a commercial and it's on primetime and it's on my fucking YouTube and it's on like 3 or 4 of my streaming services and all this, like, dude, you have money to go buy some avocado and almond trees, dog. Like, go.
But do you think that they don't have enough strings from other places attached to that dairy field that they can't just disrupt that and move to something different? You don't think that they're so big that they have 100 different hands deciding what fucking direction they go? You know what I mean?
I think,
at least when you're talking big companies.
Right. When I'm talking big companies, I think the success to lasting wealth is to not have all your eggs in one basket, right?
Absolutely.
Like, you're like, if all of your industry and wealth is coming from this one fucking thing, for while you're not rich, that's cool, dude. Like, that's all you have time to do, or that's all you know how to do. So you're doing this thing, you're making it work. When it makes a transition of like being low to middle class and whatever that area is in that business is, and now you're in the upper class and you're making a lot of money, at that point, now you have the money to go and invest in some other things. You have some money to go and get,
right,
wealth from other places, and you absolutely should. And if you don't, and then something happens to your fucking basket of eggs, dude, like, I just feel like that's your fault, man.
Right. 100%. Yeah. Fair enough. We can light that other joint, man. What is that? What do we got?
It's like a flavored grape.
Talk to me more, man.
Dipped joint. Okay, so we got this dip joint here. Swift's. They're a processing company out of Washington. I don't know if they do flower now. They might. But they do a lot of edibles. Things like that, some topical stuff, and they have these little infused joints, because I also think they do, obviously they do distillate if they're doing edibles and all this other shit, but mm-hmm. they probably do cards.
Don't they put distillate on
things like that? Yeah, so that's what I'm getting to. They, okay. This is a little joint, and it's like half a gram or 0.65 of a gram, and they take their distillate.
And in this case, I think grape-flavored distillate.
Yeah, this case, grape-flavored. And they put it on the inside of this joint. And as you're burning it, you're smoking distillate at the same time.
Back to the distillate. Yeah, flavors. Where do they come from? I wonder, you know?
These flavors are botanical-derived, which means that they come from fruit. So the flavor that they're getting for the grapes from that. And I only know this because I talked to their rep. A long time ago,
mm-hmm.
But they get that, like, if it's grape, they get it from like grape extract or whatever, like that's where that flavor comes from botanicals, like essential oils from that specific fruit or plant.
Where's the grape though? There's no grape in this joint.
I don't taste a grape.
Is it the grape one? Are you sure?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Anyway,
this is for surely the grape one.
It doesn't taste anything like grape.
Doesn't taste anything like grape, so
maybe they
forgot the grape.
Yeah, I'm kind of upset. That actually kind of tastes, and I hate to say this because I've actually had some really good dip joints, but it tastes like a cigarette. To me, it doesn't, man, this is kind of a bummer episode with the weed, as far as like chronics, but
we gotta have we gotta have those episodes.
You can't always score big. Life.
Yeah, we don't just smoke the stuff we want to smoke. Like, we legitimately try shit and we go out there and we venture. Now, we will never actively just try to shit on people, and I don't think that you and me go out and we're like, hey, we're gonna go purposely try this fucking $12 eighth and like just fucking trash it. Like, you know, no. like those boof channels. I always go Instagram, into it, right?
Hoping that they like produce this product that, you know, exceeds my expectations. Like, yeah. I want that. I'm hoping for that.
Yeah. And I don't want to be one of those weed critics that does the like, I'm just gonna trash on whatever company I want to. Like, that's where I get my energy from. Mm. But man, if it's not good, I'm gonna be honest. Like, I have to be, right? Like, yeah. I'm not gonna be unnecessarily cruel or mean or disrespectful, but I'm gonna be honest and give my honest opinion on it.
Well, because I want to see values also at like younger levels, like cheaper levels. I want to see good quality product, because right. if they're making money at that price point and they feel comfortable that they could price their weed there and it's good or it's decent, you know, has terpenes, checks the boxes of what we expect from a mid to low quality or, you know, high quality. If it does or doesn't check those boxes, I think, you know, you should talk about it one way or another. Yes. And if you can get those $20 eighths in their fire, well, I think this company Olympus, what did they used to run per eighth?
Oh, they were like 24.
Yeah, but for $24, dude, they had some bangers.
Oh yeah, they're expensive now. They're like 32 or 33 good. Now. But good
for them.
See, should have been. Yeah, just, because that shit at 24 was underpriced.
And they recognized their value. I'm sure they got good feedback. And then they were like, well, shit, if they're going to buy it, they could buy it, I'm sure, at this price. And guess what? It probably still sells, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, I love seeing value at all tiers. But if you're a top quality company, I'm probably going to be a little extra harder on you. I'm going to judge you a little harder, because if I'm going to pay $50 for an eighth, I want my value. You
better check all the boxes. Yeah.
Right. You know, back when I was down in California in San Diego, I bought a gram for $20, which is like almost unheard of. I don't know if we get $20 grams up here, at least in our area, too often. But dude, they were like the mids here. And I was like unimpressed.
It was a gram of flour?
Uh-huh.
$20 from where?
This was down in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, back when I was down in California. Yeah. And this was on two occasions, two different shops, two different brands, both about $20 for the gram. And they were both underwhelming. Like, they had some stickiness, they had some, like, good, like, physical attributes about them, but, like, the smoke was just not, they had no terpenes, no, it was unfortunate.
The weed in California is just more expensive.
Yeah, which, yeah, it's fair, like, enough.
Everyone, it is a different from California market, but, always is.
But this is their top, I asked for, like, the higher quality stuff, so that, you know,
you're like, give me the best shit.
I did. I was just like, well, what do you smoke? Because I don't want to. I'm here to smoke California weed. I want to know what it has to offer. You know, I'm only here for a short amount of time. So I wanted to smoke whatever. You know, I had the money to spend on it. So I was going to buy the best quality stuff. And I was underwhelmed by their best quality stuff, quote unquote. Also, the dispensaries are very interesting down in California. Yeah. They're like a little doctor's office or something.
Yeah, dude, it feels really like. Yeah, either doctor's office-y or, like, prison-y every time. The two times I've been into one. Like,
yeah.
Both times it was, like, one of them I had to get, like, paged in, dog. Like, mm-hmm. I went up to the thing and I, like, gave them my number and then they, like, fucking.
There's an armed guard there, yeah, always.
Yeah, they, like, text me when it was my time. Yeah. And I, like, went up there with my ID. Yeah, and homie outside was, like, here you go. Like, check my shit. And then let me in the door. And then it was a room before the room. Like,
uh-huh.
And then homie was, like, all right, yep, go through right here. And.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. And yeah.
Yep. I went in, handed them my ID. They're like, all right, we got you checked in, and go sit down over there. And I was like, sit down? No, I'm here to buy weed. Like, you know what I mean? And like, I go sit down. And like 2 minutes come by, and then a budtender comes out and is like, Garrett? And I was like, what the fuck is this doctor's office, man? Like, they're like calling me back. And then I go back, and there's all the weed. And it was an interesting.
Yeah, homie's just like experience. Walking with you the whole time.
Yeah. There's no like free shopping. Yeah. You know, there's no just like you can. It's such a different culture. between here and there.
I hope it changes. If you're listening and you're from California, your guys' setup is kind of whack.
I don't think that they yeah.
For most stores, I think that they like had this hard right now, medical thing, and they just kind of stayed in that format. And as a consumer, as like a guy who just wants to go in and buy weed, I just want to go in and buy weed, dog. Like, I just want to go through a door. If there has to be a guy there to check my ID, so be it, right? And I walk through this door, and then I just shop like any other fucking store. Like, just look around, see mm-hmm. what I want, or have really easy to read menus that are posted that I can walk from different place to place and see what y'all have. And
I feel like you're missing so much. I can make an
informed decision.
When there's just a guy walking you around or a girl walking you around, I feel like you miss so much because you're really just kind of, they're just throwing stuff at you. They're like, here's the, what about this? What about this? What about this? And you don't really get that experience of getting to see everything they have to offer. It's just kind of what they get to show you.
Right.
You give them some like general, I want X, Y, or Z, and they kind of like grab some things and show you. But in my experience, for the most part, you didn't really get to shop around too much. And you know, yeah, don't get the full experience.
Yes. My ideal shop, dude, would be you walk into a store and all the display cases are bottom lit and it's not, it's like medium lighting in it, kind of like more of an industrial feel, and you have really tall, flat display cases that are just locked glass, and then in front of each display case you have a little like stand, I guess, and on that stand it's gonna have sniff and seed jars mm-hmm. from the weed strains that are in there mm-hmm. right? So you're like, oh, you're looking at this weed. It's got the price. It's by the company thing. You're like, okay, cool. And then you look at your fucking thing. And it's like, oh, okay, that's that nug. And you can, like, look at it. You fucking sniff it. Like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. And then you... I want an app, bro. Like, I want... You're like, okay, cool. I want that. Boop. You press it on your app. And you do the thing. And as you're going through the store, and maybe your bud tenders with there and they got an iPad or something and they're mm-hmm. ordering it with you as you go. Both can happen. But I would like that you be able to like go through, make your whole ass decision, bro. You press it through in the app and then somebody calls your fucking name and you go up and you pay for it.
Like a restaurant or a fast food style?
Yeah.
You get to like...
Like, I don't even have to... But you get to
see all the products before you
buy right. it. Right. Like, I can see everything. I can experience everything to the most, whatever's legal in that state, right? Like, be able to do those testers.
How do you keep that weed fresh, though?
The sniff? You have to change it. That's the rough part. Yeah. That's the rough part, is that you have to... You basically have to make sure that you are rotating that weed out frequently.
Yeah, I wonder what the cost of that would be. To like maintain that,
I don't know, because I feel like if you did it like twice a day,
then like you could put those mid shift each shift
you could put the nugs back into the mix and like shake it in, and they'd be able to like get some of that juice back from the other ones.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, there right. is like no you would real, have like... to
be diligent. I don't think the thing is like leave that fucking nug in there for 3 or 4 days until it like literally dries and bleaches out, and mm-hmm. then you're like, oh yeah, you want to buy this weed? No. Like, if you do it like that, it's a motherfucker's job to go around every couple hours and exchange one whole fucking case thing's worth of nugs.
It'd be great if there was a way we could get consistent enough to develop scratch and sniff. So, like, each crop is so consistent. Like, X train wreck is each time we grow it. You know, like, vertically yeah. integrate so that way you know what's going on in the, yeah. on the garden side, you know?
And it's like...
And it's going to be consistent. You take
the... Not the cloning, but the fucking... Put it in the juice.
But, yeah, you just, like, sacrifice a couple nugs and you got to create this smell that you plaster on this scratch and sniff. And, yeah, so that way you're not degrading any of your weed. But you know it's going to be... This.
I don't know why they can't do... Okay, so, like, if they did, like, a live resin kind of, like, perfume right? Like if they took the Nug live and like basically juiced it and made like an essential oil perfume out of it,
right?
Wouldn't that last longer?
Oh, or rosin. What if you just squeezed it? You just kept it in a fridge. They're like, hey, I wanna smell that, and then, I mean, right?
Like, or like they have a little warmer. They put a little bit of rosin on the warmer, and it warms it up, dude, and just like.
Yeah.
Hits you in the face.
I feel like that would be efficient.
Yeah.
And not cost too much.
Not terribly. Not out of each crop. Like, out of each crop, if you had a little thing and you're only doing that, like, basically a couple times a day, or there's some little, like, scratch and sniff thing with a little bit of rosin smeared on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I feel like that would be any kind of, like, smell would be highly beneficial. Here in Washington, we're not allowed to smell.
Yeah. You just got to look and be like, ah.
Like, Oregon, I think, has a couple of those shops that do the little, like, twist and smell jars that have, like, a little vent that you untwist and you get to smell the weed. Plus, they basically dose it out or weigh it out right in front of you, which is kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, they let me smell the nugs, dude. Mm-hmm. I think I've had people...
Yeah. In Oregon, right?
Yeah.
And I think California is, I think, even, like, stricter than us. Like, they really don't allow you to smell it. I don't know if I'm 100% correct on that, but like that's kind of the impression I got. And each time I was left with like a sealed bag. Like all my shit was like in a sealed. I was like, damn, this is like, yeah, it's like they took the whole medical and literally just transferred it into rec. It's yeah. So.
And they're like, this is how you do this in the rest of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunate in some aspects that we have in Washington, but that is the one thing that like. Not being able to smell the weed, and I hear that's the most that's the number one complaint, I think.
Oh, it is so that, easy to sell weed when you can smell it.
I think the next complaint would be price, which makes no sense to me.
Because in Washington, I feel like it's pretty fair.
Yeah, I think we have like, one of the most fair, in where we work, you know, and we're getting the complaints. It's like, holy shit, like, we have it, like, the best. You know, we're probably the cheapest, like the highest.
Like Oregon, I feel like it's comparable. Like same prices in Oregon as here.
Maybe even less because they have an abundance, but
yeah,
it's comparable.
Sometimes it's a little cheaper. Yeah. But you could find deals and stuff up here where like you're getting those prices.
But what in your store is like the highest, most expensive eighth is no more than $50, right?
Bucks or
exactly. Yeah. So yeah, you go anywhere else, like they have some that's like 60, 70. And you know, so really,
if somebody is like, we want you to sell our shit, we want it to do this price, I feel like we're the store that's like, not, we're not about that, like in the politest way, like you're just like, no, sorry.
I think too that not being able to smell it is a huge disadvantage and disservice too, because one of the things that I think Washington struggles the most with is lack of terpenes. Like I think, and it's so unfortunate because like even through smell, they can deceive you, right? You smell it and then it does not translate to the flavor, which
at all.
So, I mean, even smelling it could be not a leg up. You might not get anything. It might smell dank, but then you go to taste it and taste nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that Washington struggles with is terpenes. I think they lack severely in the flower, even with like higher end stuff.
Yes.
Like across the board, not, you know, there's a lot of cool companies out there.
Not all companies, but yeah, I think consistently across the board, you do get those flops at even the higher price points.
Right.
And it's very disappointing. And I don't think any one company has been like 100% solid. Like even the top shelf stuff will put out a strain and I'm like, oof. Like,
yeah. The thing that they do have going for it though, is it'll still get you high.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so. Yeah. Cool, like there's still that,
or it'll take fully... or the opposite. Like I had some problems with a House of Cultivar
with flavor and no high,
with like super good flavor. Yeah, like smells good, tastes good, like the, it's like so good when you're smoking it, and then you're like high for 10 minutes.
Yeah
dude,
just too much weight in one side of the scale.
Yeah,
either way,
I don't know what's happening here. I've never experienced this, but it was not the truth. Like I had this, I think it was Sunburn.
Oh yeah,
it tasted so good. It was like rotten oranges, dude. Mm-hmm. It was just like skunky and orangey, like at the same time. I was like, oh man, I love this flavor profile. And it was just such a good smoke and like really like wake and bake kind of weed.
Wake and bake kind of weed because it didn't get you
like, yeah, dude, fucked up. And because it didn't get you fucked up. Yeah, because you could smoke a whole joint of it to yourself and be pretty cool.
It's like waking up to your orange juice, but it's just like, yeah. It's like roast snubble.
Yeah, like you can be a little happy, you're going to feel a little behind the eyes, and that's, you know, that's about it. And it's going to, you know, 15 minutes later, you're going to kind of mellow out and not be as high. I wouldn't say that you're like stone cold sober, but you're done being like peaked, which is disappointing for weed. I like a good flower. Like if I'm going to sit down and smoke a joint, I want to be high for like an hour, you know, 45 minutes.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, if it's going to be like you or you and one other person smoking that joint.
Yeah.
Right.
Like if you or me were to smoke one joint and it was like a $40 eighth, I would want that to get you and me high
for the price the per better, minute per dollar.
The better part of an hour, right?
$45, yeah, like 45 minutes.
Yeah. 40 minutes.
So, I was going to ask you this. It's a super non-cannabis question, but I was just thinking about it the other day at work is, cause I was listening to Tenacious D.
Yes.
Right. And it got me thinking of the movie cause I was watching I was listening to The Pick of Destiny.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn dude, like that is such like my guilty pleasure movie. Cause it's so bad, but like it's so good.
It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you have any like movies or music that like is a guilty pleasure that like is just one of those like super goofy things that you don't watch often, but like when you think about it, you're like, damn, I really want to go watch that now.
Yeah. I feel like definitely. Like you say Tenacious D and like all of those, right? Like even their fucking like I've watched their performances when they're like in front of college kids and shit, and they're like they had this show like long like
before they had a TV show
famous. They had like this little show, yeah, they got some episodes.
Is that on like MTV or something? Where was that at?
No, I like didn't know that. My dad bought this like box series,
what,
Tenacious D, like, yeah, like,
your dad was into Tenacious D?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
My dad and fuck my uncle,
fuck
like,
yes,
yeah, like we went over to my uncle's house and he had the Tenacious D series, and then he was like, what do you guys want to watch? And I was like, let's watch some Tenacious D. And then he was like, ooh, I don't know if you guys should be watching that. And like my dad was like, no, nah, it's cool, like I bought it, like they've watched all those.
Wait, so when were you introduced to Tenacious D?
I was probably like 13.
Was it music 14? Or like the show that you were first introduced to?
Their music.
What song do you remember?
No.
Ah,
no, but damn. It was early, it was like mid 2000s.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. My very first introduction, I remember it so clearly and I don't know why, but it was the song Tribute.
Yes, dude, I love Tribute.
My like cousin put it on, me, my cousin and my brother and maybe someone else. We were like out kicking it in our little clubhouse that my cousin had, and we had a TV out there and he like plugged that CD in and like I think that might have been even like the first song on it, but that was the first song my ear picked up and I was like, what the fuck is this? Like I was like, what is this magical music? Like this is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack Black and Kyle Gass. They're still making like concerts, like, well, not anymore right now, but like they were still going on tours.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're still making music. Like, good for them.
Yeah.
Fucking Jack Black is a guy. He does a lot of shit.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he has fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like, when I'm that old, I want to be that fun.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, dude. Out there doing TikToks now, too.
Oh, lovely.
He's TikTok famous.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's easy for him. Like Kevin Hart, almost. Like anything and they do, like, people will pay attention. Yeah.
Anywhere you put you, people are going to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't think of anything else that like movie or anything, because you've seen the Tenacious D movie, right? Like the Pick of Destiny movie.
Yeah. That's awesome. Kung Pao?
Oh shit, that's out of my element. I didn't ever watch.
It's like this spoof
karate.
It's like a spoof like kung fu movie. I think it's called Kung Pao, but it's like basically one of the first like parody movies
I've ever seen. Oh, I think I've heard you talk about this before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, dude. So funny. And it sucked. Like,
is it like
hated this.
Is it like Bollywood style, like weird? Like,
kinda, but they like dub over the top. Like, they're dubbed over. Like, the people speaking, like, there's people speaking over
this. Like, on purpose. Yeah,
on purpose.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It's like that.
So the person acting saying something completely different as far as their lips and then whatever yeah. else is being.
Yes. Yeah, Kung Pao Enter the Fist, dude.
Oh, no. Yes, yeah. I need to see that. We need to watch that one of these days.
Dude, yeah.
Let's get really high and watch Kung Pao.
Like, that's one of the... It's, like, so corny, but I fucking love it.
Those So Bad It's Good movies are the best. They're gems, dude.
Yeah. What was that fucking... That 80s one that... You rewatch that's really good on YouTube.
Oh yeah, Kung Fury.
Yeah, dude, Kung Fury's fucking good.
Yeah, that's like a
I'll watch that every
new
once
age
in a while.
80s. Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah,
it's just so cheesy. I thought they were like planning on making another one of those, but I don't know if they ever got funding or it's just gonna come out in 8 years just out of nowhere. But
yeah,
I don't think it needs a sequel. It's good on its own. That little 30-45
yeah.
minutes.
Just hit me with that. Like, let it die. Like, that's a good legend. That's when you go out when you're on top.
100%. Yeah. You don't try and make another
Any
one.
Legend who's just gone past their prime, dude, it never ends well. Like, when get to the top and fucking quit, dude. That's just, okay, that's your legacy. Go take your money and go put it somewhere else and make money off that.
Yeah. No one talks about grown-ups, too. They talk about Billy Madison.
Right. Yes, dude. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of Jack Black, like, Nacho Libre is, like, one of my favorite movies.
It's kind of like the Napoleon Dynamite of his career.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
It's, like, cringy humor.
Yes. Yeah. It's stuff you really don't want to watch, but then when you're in it, like, you're like, this is fucking gold. Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, that movie is... fucking good, dude.
Like, I don't think I appreciated that movie when I was like young when it came out, both Napoleon Dynamite and Nacho Libre, but when I watched them like later as an adult, I was like, these are fucking gold.
They age like, well, dude. They age. I feel like the older they get, the better they are, because they already had that weird like kind of like old feel to them, right? Like, it was already like you wanted it to be a classic movie feel, and so when you watch them back, it aged well, because it's like that's what they're going for. It's like it's an old movie.
Yeah, if you just don't look at the date they came out or the year that they came out, and just think in your head, oh, this is what it's time.
Yeah.
It was, you know, this is, yeah.
Well, you don't even know what time it is in Napoleon Dynamite. You're like, is this in the 80s or right now? Like,
is
I don't know.
Just in the Midwest somewhere,
like,
in
when
U.S. right now?
They start singing like Britney Spears, I was like, oh, because I thought this was in the 80s. Like, this is, okay.
Yep.
That movie that song didn't come out that long ago. Like,
parts of the U.S. that just never, like...
Yeah, you're just like looking at this, and I was like,
forward.
What time is it? Like,
They're still wearing chucks and like rolled up jeans and
just
shit.
Just fucking
like,
weird, dude. Yeah,
white t-shirts.
Like, all the hairstyles are like 80s hairstyles. Like, like straight out of the fucking 80s, but then nope. Crazy. And all the cars, too. All the cars they had were these hoopties. Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
I wonder if there's like parts of the U.S. that are just like still
like
stuck in a society,
in like some decade.
Yeah, because we're always going out and trying to find these indigenous tribes of people, but like I'm sure there's
some
in the middle
here now. Yeah,
yeah, that are just like so far back in time that
some time version of the Amish, where like everyone there has just decided that they're gonna like collectively stay. In this era, like, we're never gonna fix our houses to look modern, we're not gonna buy cars that are from past this year, like,
that'd be kind of
cool. We're gonna have white picket fences, or we're gonna have this style, and like
I'm sure there's places that are trying to like maintain that, but like that's their thing, kind of like Leavenworth is like a Bavarian town, and they kind of hold to that. I'm sure there's places that are like
this is 70s
intentionally style. Trying to do that, but yeah, I'm sure there's some out there that are just like, that's where they are, man. They don't have the resources constantly coming to them to really adapt and move forward exponentially. They're just chilling with their cornfields, man.
Hell yeah.
But I think we have a good little episode here, man.
I think this is good. This is fun.
not the best weed, but a good episode.
Yeah, I'm high.
Yeah, I mean, it did the job.
It did the job. Like, that's the one thing. Flavor. Like, I'm a bougie bitch. Like, when it comes to smoking weed, I like it to be really good. So, you know, it's like when you're used to driving Ferraris and you go and you drive like a Honda Civic, you're just gonna be like, well, like, this is a car.
Got you. Point A to point B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a hoopty. Right. It don't look that great.
I wouldn't even say that it was a hoopty. Like, it's just like a mid. It's just like a regular car.
Okay.
Just like a
just an economy car.
Like, yeah, just some, like a Prius.
Middle of the road. Right? Everybody's just got one.
Yeah, everyone's got one. Not that special. Like, you understand when people get it. Like, yeah, you get it. Like, oh, yeah, you save some money or whatever.
But you really want to be in your Tesla.
That you wanted, right? Yeah. It's not the shit that you wanted.
Yeah. That's okay.
If you
not had, all weed's a winner.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Right.
Just,
and that's okay.
Yeah,
but yeah. I am experiencing a good high. I am very high right now, and I'm happy, and it's good. And for the most part, it feels clean. I don't feel like I have a headache. My throat doesn't feel scratchy anymore, so that's kind of good.
Yeah, it was really only when we were smoking it.
A couple of those were a couple rough. Yeah, but afterwards, you didn't have this like residual like I gotta keep.
Don't feel like you have the coronavirus.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, man. Well, good talking.
It was good smoking with you, dude.
Hell yeah, brother. See ya.